Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Stephen Jones, our speaker will be Dr. Daniel Borkert, physician with University Medical Associates in Greenville, South Carolina. The title of his message is Glorifying God in Our Bodies. The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20.
Right, as you take out your Bibles, many of you know that from the pedometers that you may have seen on the faculty or the staff that we've had a wellness emphasis this year, which arose from a burden that the Lord laid on me personally and then for us as a university family trying to serve you for our health and stamina for ministry, that we had a stewardship responsibility of our bodies, our temples that the Lord has given us, and also for our sake of our testimonies before you as students and before the outside world. And in keeping with that, a number of months ago, I asked Dr. Daniel Borkert from University Medical Associates. He's been a part of UMA for the last couple of years, since August of 2006. If he would come and do a message on the stewardship of our bodies as believers. Dr. Borkert came here to Greenville after 19 years in family practice in Colorado, where he was born, and he came here feeling that this is a full-time ministry call that the Lord had laid on him. He has been burdened for ministry since he was saved at the age of 13, felt the Lord definitely calling him to medical practice, but also knew that he had a burden for missions and believed fully that the Lord would integrate those two and give him the opportunity to minister through his medicine in missions. He went to undergraduate school and his medical school at the University of Colorado. And while he was in medical school, he met his wife, Marnie, who's a graduate of the university. They were attending the same church out there. He established a family practice in Aurora, Colorado, joined a family practice there, and was in practice there for 19 years. And all the time he was there in a busy family practice, he was also involved in short-term missions. He was the director of the mission organization at their church and was taking their family practice as a strong opportunity to be a testimony and witness to the patients that the Lord brought their way. And as a part of that, he helped to found the Rocky Mountain Biblical Counseling Center, where he could direct his patients who needed ongoing spiritual help. So you can see his heart for ministry. His heart for ministry is what led him here, and he has had a vibrant ministry to many of us as faculty, staff, and students. So we appreciate him and the other physicians over there at UMA and all that they have done particularly, and hopefully he's gotten more sleep since the pertussis outbreak in December. But we were constantly leaning on them for advice and counsel and how to handle that situation and grateful for the blessing of their help. He and his wife live here in Greenville now. They have 8 children, 4 of whom are in the university or graduate school. A man with a heart for the Lord, a heart for the Word, a heart for God's people. And I know it'll be a blessing today as he deals with this important issue of our stewardship as God's people of the bodies that he has entrusted to us. So Dr. Borkert.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jones. It's certainly a great privilege to be here this morning. It's a great responsibility to stand before the student body. And I am humbled as I think about the men of God that have stood in this pulpit in days gone by. And greetings to all you students. Some 30 years ago, I was sitting right out there where you are. And but in a greater way, I have 2 daughters who are freshmen here at the university, a son who is a senior, going to graduate, and then another son who will be graduating from seminary here within a few weeks. So I'm very aware of the busyness that you all are dealing with. Right now, you have those year-end tests that are coming up, all those projects that are due. And if that's then we're all looking towards that graduation time and then on to the summer. But if that's not enough, today is tax day. And I'm sure in an audience this size, there's a number who have not yet filed all your tax return stuff or whatever. And I'm sure you're going to be busy with that. But I'd like for you to set all those things aside this morning and give me a few minutes of your time. I'm going to talk about a topic that could literally add years to your life if you pay attention to it. It is also a very sensitive subject, so I don't want any misunderstandings. So I appreciate if you'd give me some of your undivided attention this morning. As has already been mentioned, I am a medical doctor. I work over at University Medical Associates with Dr. Harding, Dr. Wren, and Dr. Saito. It's been a great privilege working with these individuals. They are excellent physicians. We are blessed to have a wonderful staff over there, too, and I am thrilled to be a part of the ministry there. Prior to that, I was some 19 years in Denver, Colorado, Lakewood, Colorado, actually, and worked with Dr. Ralph Rowland, Dr. Michael Schindel, both of whom are graduates of Bob Jones University. They are outstanding men and leaders in the community and their churches out there in Colorado, and that was a great privilege to spend the time with them. As time has gone by in those last 21 years, I've had the privilege of seeing literally thousands of individuals and being involved in the medical problems of so many different people. And part of that has been the privilege of actually experiencing the drama of life, if you will. Those special moments that people have. And sometimes that drama has been very exciting, very, very thrilling. But other times that drama has been very difficult and hard. And so I thought this morning it would be appropriate for me to start our time together by sharing one example of one of those dramas of life. This is a person whom I will refer to as Sue. Sue is not her name, and there's no reflection on anyone in this audience, by the way. I have actually changed a number of her demographic information to protect her identity. But Sue illustrates very clearly some of the points which I think you need to understand this morning. This is a very serious thing, the stewardship of the body. I first met Sue in my office when she turned 46. I'll never forget the day that I walked in that exam room, sat down, and began to talk to Sue. Sue started by telling me a few trivial health problems, but very quickly she broke down, began to cry, and she told me, Dr. Borkert, I'm going to die. Now, as a physician, I deal with that quite often, but I was taken back by that statement because generally patients don't tell me they're going to die. By the way, in an audience this size, I dare say there's going to be a number in this audience who will not live to see 2009. Death is very real amongst us. At any rate, I asked Sue, I said, Sue, explain, what do you mean you're going to die? She went on to tell me that some 3 weeks prior, her 48-year-old brother had died of a massive heart attack. She went on to say that her family had a very strong history of heart disease and that her father had died in his early 60s of a heart attack as well. And now she said, Dr. Borkert, I am going to die of a heart attack. Well, I took time that morning, obviously, and got a complete history, did a complete exam. I ordered a number of tests, including a stress treadmill that I had performed by a cardiologist. Then I had her come back in the office several days later. When she came back in the office, I sat her down and I said, Sue, you're not going to die. Your stress treadmill is entirely normal. Your blood tests are by and large normal. Your cholesterol is a little unfavorable, but we can make some changes now. And I also told Sue, I said, Sue, there are some things that need to happen here, because you see, Sue was overweight. Sue had a high blood pressure. Sue did not exercise at all. And so I outlined a exercise diet program, and we started her on medication to control her blood pressure and her cholesterol. And at first, Sue was very, very good about this. Over the next year to year and a half, Sue lost a substantial amount of weight. Her blood pressure came under good control. Her cholesterol looked great. Sue was doing super. But as often is the case that I find with patients over and over again, is that after about a year and a year and a half, Sue lost interest in doing the things which we outline. And Sue began to gain the weight back. Her blood pressure rose. Her cholesterol became unfavorable. And every time I'd see Sue in the office, I'd confront her about the problem that she was facing. But you see, Sue always had a reason why she couldn't follow through with taking care of herself. Mostly, she said, I simply don't have time. I don't have time. Well, I tried and tried again to convince Sue of what she needed to do. And time did pass by, some 5 years. And several years ago from now, from this day, several years back, in November, on a Monday morning, I remember receiving a phone call from the county coroner's office. As you probably already figured it out, the county coroner told me that Sue had died suddenly the day before. He was calling to ask about her history, and I explained the things which I've explained to you this morning. And I asked him, I said, tell me what happened to Sue. He went on to explain. He said, that day before, Sue did the normal routine that she usually did. She slept in a little bit later. She prepared breakfast, enjoyed breakfast with her husband, and then did some housework around her home. She went ahead and prepared a lunch for her husband. They enjoyed lunch together. Her husband kissed her goodbye and went out on a beautiful Colorado day to play golf. A number of hours later, he returned to the home. And when he walked into his house, he noticed an unusual quietness about the house. He knew that something wasn't quite right. He called out his wife's name, but there was no answer. He began to go from room to room in the house looking for his wife. And when he walked into the kitchen, there she was on the floor. He ran to her side and checked for a pulse. He noticed there was no pulse. He went to the telephone, called 911, went back to his wife's side, and to the best of his ability, began to perform CPR. Within minutes, the paramedics arrived, and they continued CPR and did everything possible to resuscitate Sue. But you see, it was to no avail. Sue was pronounced dead at the scene. The irony of this story is the fact that that very moment that the paramedics arrived, Sue's son and grandson arrived. You see, it was the grandson's birthday, and they had planned a very special birthday party that day. Well, the county coroner did do an autopsy, and just as you might have figured out, Sue died of a massive heart attack, just like her brother, just like her father. Dead at age 51. But not just physically dead, she was emotionally, mentally dead, never able to enjoy that grandson's birthday. In fact, that cake was sitting right there on the table when the paramedics arrived. Dead at age 51. Not able to enjoy that grandson's birthday. Never able to see another sunset. Never able to spend another moment with her husband. But the tragedy of this story is the fact that Sue was not only emotionally, mentally dead and physically dead, she was spiritually dead. She was never able to make another spiritual decision. For you see, to my knowledge, Sue never knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Sue was cast into a Christless eternity. And so this morning, I'd like just a few minutes of your time as we talk about what I can see from Scripture as stewardship of the body. And then I want to show you where we are in America. How are we doing in America in regards to taking care of our bodies as we ought? But let's pause now and ask God's blessing on our time. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that these folks here would give me their undivided attention, that they would pay close attention to the words that are spoken. And Father, I pray that you would speak through me. That there would be a difference made today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 19 and 20 this morning. As you're turning there, let me ask you some questions to provoke some thinking. First, regarding the example of Sue here. Do you think that Sue perhaps could have made some decisions that might have made a difference in her life? That perhaps she could have made a choice that perhaps she, even now she would be alive? Certainly God was not willing that she should perish without Him. And then how about yourself, young people? How about you, faculty, staff, administrators? Have you given any consideration to your health, where you are today, where you're going to be a week from now, a year from now, 10 years from now? And finally, what is our responsibility as Christians to care for the body that God has given to us? Now, I understand this morning that there are those sovereign situations that God allows to occur in our lives, that cancer that comes in and sweeps a life away. Those moments of accident that cannot be prevented, that leaves a person with a permanent disability or takes their life. There are those situations. And yet, as a physician who's practiced for 21 years, I am convinced without question that God has entrusted certain areas in our health for us to make decisions about. And I can say emphatically in front of you that unless you care for the body that God has given to you, you will likely suffer premature illness and die a premature death. This will result in cutting the life short that God has intended for you. So now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. The scripture reads, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, as a way of background in Scripture here, we find that Paul is confronting the Corinthian Christians about a number of issues that have occurred in the church. And we find as you go into chapter 5 and chapter 6, there's this big problem of immorality that occurred in the church. It's the same today. And Paul is giving reasons why individuals should not be involved in this sinful behavior. And he's listing a number of things as you get into chapter 6. And then he ends in verses 19 and 20 with some principles of stewardship of the body. And I want you to see two principles here. These are principles that are not only applicable to immorality, but also to any area as far as our bodies. Two basic principles here. First, that God owns your physical body. You do not own your physical body. And secondly, that God expects you to glorify Him with your body. And how does He expect you to glorify Him with your body? There's a number of things you could look at, but I want you to look at two very basic areas there, too. First, by caring for the body that He's given to you. And secondly, by avoiding harmful practices. Let's look first at that principle that God owns your physical body. If you notice here in verse 19, Paul is using what we call a rhetorical question in English. It's a question that's asked not so much to be answered, but to make a point. Verse 19 reads, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" It's like Paul is getting a hold of the Corinthian Christian and shaking him by the shirt collar and saying, "Don't you get it? Don't you get it, Christian? Your body does not belong to you. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You do not have ownership of it." And of course, the question is asked, is then whose does our body belong to? Well, it's implied there in verse 19, but clearly stated in verse 20 in our English version anyway. In verse 20, the scripture reads, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Notice that possessive phrase, "which are God's." Our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to God. Now, this is an interesting thing because as a Christian for some 36 years, both as a doctor and before I even when I was a doctor, I've observed this over and over again. People understand that when there's a point in their life that they cannot save themselves, that they must trust the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. They understand that their soul and their spirit then becomes God's. It's no longer theirs. And if we're really sold out as Christians, we say that we are going to give our lives to God. And that's what many of you are doing here at Bob Jones University. And that's great. But somehow, we think that we retain ownership of this fleshly being, our body. That it belongs to us and we can do whatever we choose to do within certain parameters. And that's exactly what most Christians do. And yet the Scripture says, no, that is not the case. Your body does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Now, why does it belong to God? Look at verse 20. The first part of verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." The same reason that your soul does not belong to you, that your soul has been purchased, is the same reason why your body doesn't belong to you. You see, you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God's own blood was shed on the cross, not just for your soul, but for your body. Your body has no right to be owned by you. Now, because God owns you, He expects you to glorify Him. Point number two here, if you're taking notes. He expects you to glorify Him with your body. Notice there in verse 20, that word glorify means to honor God. It means to magnify, lift God up. It's really not to make God look bigger than He is, because God's already as big as He's going to be. It's to see Him as He is. The thought here is to be a good commercial with your body for God. Now, I want you to see another grammatical phrase here. Therefore, glorify God in your body. It is implied as a subject that you are to glorify God in your body. It's not up to your neighbor here in chapel to glorify God in your body. It's not your parents' obligation to glorify God in your body. It is not your doctor to fix you up to glorify God in your body. It is not even God who's going to glorify you in your body. He has given you the responsibility. This is the human element. This is the free will of man, if you will. You are to glorify God in your body. Now, we ask the question, how do we glorify God in our bodies? There's a number of ways we can glorify God in our bodies. This morning, we lifted our voices in praise and song to the Lord. That glorified God. And if we were to take ourselves and go across the ocean to another land and preach the gospel, we would glorify God with our bodies. That's true. But in the context of Scripture here, I think there's something much more basic. We glorify God in our body in two ways. First off, in how we care for our body. And secondly, how we avoid harmful practices to our bodies. By the way, there's a number of places in Scripture we could go and talk about stewardship of the body, but this is very basic stuff. This is where we need to begin. I want you to see, first off, that we glorify God by what we do with our body. You see, the Scripture here refers to the body as the temple. In other places in Scripture, we see that it refers to the temple. Now, the temple was that structure in the Old Testament where the Shekinah glory dwelt. It's where God's Spirit dwelt. And that temple, I dare say, needed to be repaired. It needed to be cleaned. It was something that needed to be maintained. And when the Israelite children were right with God, when the Jewish people were right, they took care of that temple. We know that because Scripture tells us that. In like fashion, God has said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit dwells within our bodies. And in like fashion, to bring honor and glory to God, we must care for the body that He's given to us. We must do that which is right with our body. That includes things like exercise and diet and all those things. We glorify God with our bodies when we care for it. But it's up to you. No one else can do that. But secondly, I want you to see that we glorify God not only with what we do with our bodies, but with what we don't do with our bodies. If you look at context of Scripture, if you look back there in verse 18, notice what the Scripture says, because that's the context here. It says, flee fornication. It's a very strong injunction to leave, to run from fornication, which is that sinful practice outside of marriage. That sinful sexual behavior outside of marriage. The Scripture reads, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication, the Scripture says, sinneth, which offends or trespasses against his own body. Now, what does this mean? Well, clearly what the Scripture is saying here is that when a person's involved in immoral behavior, it literally destroys the body. And we know that's true for medical science. For you see, a person's involved in immoral behavior is playing Russian roulette, because before long they'll end up with venereal disease. And if venereal disease is left unchecked, venereal disease will destroy that body. It will literally kill the person. That's been the case for decades on end. And yet there's a broader application here. You see, this has become a proof text for why an individual, for instance, should not be involved in cigarette smoking. It's an abuse against the body. In the last 50 to 75 years, we in medical science have come to understand that this is a problem. And if you smoke cigarettes, you will shorten your lifespan. And yet there's a broader application beyond that, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes here. So you glorify God not only with what you do with your body, but with what you don't do with your body. Now, I want us to shift gears here this morning, and I want us to see where we are as American Christians. Where are we as American Christians in caring for the bodies that we have? Now, I'm going to assume the role of a doctor, so hold on to your seat a little bit, because I'm going to share some statistics that are a little bit startling. It is said that to measure the health of a society, one must look at the fitness levels of the individuals. And how do you measure a fitness level of an individual? There's a number of ways you can do it, but one way you can do that is by looking at obesity rates. Obesity rates. And being obese in itself doesn't mean that a person's unhealthy, but it does indicate that they are unfit. In America, there's 130 million Americans who are either considered overweight or obese. This represents 65% of the entire adult population. If you throw in the children and adolescents who struggle with this, that goes upwards to 75 to 80% of the population in America is either overweight or obese. And yet this is not a phenomenon that has always been the case. For you see, in the last 30 years, obesity rates have doubled amongst adults, gone from 32% to 65%. Amongst adolescents, that number has tripled. And now we have the dubious honor in America of being known as the fattest industrialized nation in the world. Now, you say this is not a problem amongst Christians. This is the world's problem. If I were to take a map and you were to see a map of the United States, you would find that the incidence of obesity lies in the southeastern part of the United States, the greatest incidence, and in the southern part of the United States, the very place that we call the Bible Belt. The interesting thing about that is in the medical community, it's not known as the Bible Belt. It's known as the Diabetes Belt. It's known as the Heart Attack Belt. It's known as the Stroke Belt. This is a Christian problem. Now, I'm going to pause for a second and say I'm not trying to create an offense amongst individuals here. That is not my goal. I want to be sensitive. And I understand if you're thin, it doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy. You can have bulimia or anorexia or cancer and have major health problems. And I understand that there's a number in this room who have worked very hard to lose weight. Once you gain weight, it's very difficult to lose it. and you're struggling with that, let me encourage you to continue to work towards the goal of getting that weight off. That's important. And I never for a second think that there's a direct measurement of your weight with spirituality. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But I do think that there is much ignorance in this area in our society, just as there was with cigarette smoking 50 to 75 years ago. But the facts remain that being overweight does create potential major health problems. Let me be specific. 80% of type 2 diabetes, which is absolutely epidemic in our society. There's hardly a week goes by over at University Medical Associates where we do not diagnose a new case of diabetes. Diabetes is the number one cause for blindness, the number one cause for kidney failure. It is thought to be equivalent to having had one heart attack when you're diagnosed with diabetes. 80% of that is related to obesity. 70% of all heart attacks and strokes are thought to be related to obesity. Cancer is a big scare in our society. When we hear that word cancer, it's a scary thing. 42% of all breast cancer and colon cancer is related to obesity. I don't have time to talk about osteoarthritis, gallbladder disease, sleep apnea. All these are related to obesity as well. Many physicians, including myself, now believe that the number one health crisis facing America is this problem of obesity. It is felt that the lifespan of Americans will begin to decline, and there was some evidence last fall that I saw in statistics that that, in fact, is the case because of this epidemic. Folks, it is a problem. Are we, as Christians, glorifying God with how we conduct our lives? Are we a good testimony for the Lord with how we handle this area of our life? Now, let me close here in just the next few minutes that I have. And I want to share a personal testimony. For you see, I have struggled with this myself for the past 10 years. As I mentioned earlier, I was 30 years ago as a 20-year-old student sitting where you are. I felt God had called me into medicine, and I worked hard and studied hard, as anyone who's a pre-med major knows what's involved with that. God blessed, and I was able to get into medical school. When I was in medical school, the rigors of studies even increased. And during that time, I was very active in my church. And it was during that time, as Dr. Jones mentioned, is when I met my wife, my future wife, Marnay. And so the time I didn't spend with my studies, the time I didn't spend working with church activities, I spent focused on her. And God blessed us, and we were married when I was a junior in medical school. And from there, of course, we went in to my residency in Phoenix, Arizona, and did my internship and postdoctorate training. Very busy time. It was there where we added our first son, Daniel, our second son, John. And from there, of course, we went back to Colorado, where I went into practice with Dr. Ralph Rowland. Those are busy years, those first years of starting practice. That's where we had our first house, our first cars. We furnished the home. It was a very busy time. And during that time, I thought there was no need to care for the body that God had given me. I didn't give it any consideration. And soon I was 40 years old, looking in the mirror, realizing I was overweight, out of shape, and really a poor testimony for the Lord. And the Lord began to convict my heart about what I should be doing, which was right. And yet, by the time I reached 44, as I began to exercise and watch the diet, I had some major health problems. And I found myself in the intensive care unit in Denver, Colorado. And there I faced the real possibility of premature death, or at least the loss of an extremity. It was there when I was in that bed, and I was thinking, how can this be? I reasoned with God. I said, God, I'm too young. God, I'm a doctor. I'm an example to society here. I'm a Christian. This can't happen to me. And yet it did. And God in His gracious, good Spirit allowed for me to recover from that. And from that point, I have come to understand and appreciate the need to care for the temple that God has given to me, this body. For you see, anything that I will make, any spiritual impact that I will make with my life is only why I'm alive in this being. And so that's partly why the Lord has put me in front of you this morning. Yes, we American Christians do have a big problem. There's a lack of exercise. Quite frankly, there's poor diet. In many cases, just plain gluttony. And yet I understand, I've been there. I understand exactly what people go through. And yet God has called us to serve Him, and He has said that our bodies do not belong to us, they belong to Him. He has asked us to glorify Him with our bodies in how we care for this temple that He's given to us. Why? Because He wants us to live as long as possible to maximize our spiritual impact on our society and on our world. I want you to bow your heads now. I'm going to close in prayer in just a second, but I'm going to ask you a couple questions, young people. Let me ask you this. Are you neglecting the care of your physical being? Have you given any consideration? Have you thought about the future of your health? You see, the time is now, while you're young, to make healthy choices so that you don't end up like Sue, dying early. And how about you, faculty, staff, administrator? Are you caring for yourselves in a Christ-honoring way? Are you being the example to your family, to the students that walk across this campus? Have you started the wellness program here, and yet now you're falling away from that? Don't do that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let me encourage each one here to care for your body, God's temple that He's entrusted you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Daniel Borkert, physician with University Medical Associates in Greenville, South Carolina. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.